This is WSFI Spotlight, a conversation with Catholics living in the light.
Hello and welcome to this Divine Mercy special edition of WSFI Spotlight. And here in our studios in Libertyville, Illinois, we have two women who are from local parishes, and they're going to talk a little bit about why they're involved with Divine Mercy and what they have occurring on Sunday, which is Divine Mercy Sunday. So with us right now is Tina McCreary. Tina is a volunteer sacristan at St. Bede, which is part of Our Lady of the Lakes Parish. And we also have our own beloved Annette Wynn. And she is in multiple parishes. I guess she's at St. Gilbert and she's at St. Raphael. And she'll tell us a little bit about what's going on in her neck of the woods. So welcome, Tina.
Hi, how are you?
There you go.
Thank you.
I'm very good, and thanks for coming on the radio in WNDZ and WSFI. And Annette, welcome back.
Hi, how are you doing, Angela?
Yeah, so if you've gotten an acknowledgement from WSFI, it's usually because Annette is here volunteering with the administrative things to try to keep us on track. So Tina, tell us, first of all, how did you get involved with Divine Mercy, and why is it important for people to celebrate it on Sunday?
Well, personally, if it wasn't for Divine Mercy Sunday, I probably wouldn't have been totally converted back to the Catholic Church.
Why is that?
And I made the poor decision on when I was in my younger years. I had an abortion, I just was completely lost after that. Mm-hmm. After my abortion, I had a miscarriage, and long story short, I finally, you know, made a change in myself, and I just prayed to God, thinking, okay, something's got to change. I became pregnant with my third, which is not my son. He's much older now and in discernment right now.
Discernment for the priesthood.
Yes, ma'am.
So that goes to show you.
Yes. I met before Father Mike became a priest. He was helping people to go over to Medjugorje.
That's Father Michael Grezik.
Yes, Father Michael Grezik. Yes, he was. He told me about Divine Mercy Sunday, and definitely changed my life. I just felt totally forgiven, made better choices, and allowed God to come into my heart.
Yeah. How does it feel now?
It's time to get back, I guess.
It feels really good.
Yeah, it does. And I really like to see the look on someone's face after they leave church from Divine Mercy Sunday. It's a definite change in someone's life for the better. Yeah. Full of love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. How about you, Annette? How did you get involved with Divine Mercy?
I probably heard about it during my own revert experience. My revert experience was kind of driven by Our Lady, but of course, because Divine Mercy was so popular in the early 90s, my own experience was as a revert was that I had been away from the sacrament of confession for 10 years for good reasons, okay? I couldn't walk out of the confessional and say I would go and sin no more. And that's part of the promise of confession. So because of that, going through Divine Mercy, I can remember one particular year that I did the novena where I really felt that lifting from having done the novena, and I really did feel completely forgiven. And so from that, there was a priest in our parish who was newly ordained, and we used to do some things together, but one of the things that came out of that was Divine Mercy. That's how we started doing the Divine Mercy feast day. We would do a holy hour. But
on the Sunday?
Yeah.
And beautiful.
But the other thing I would say is that doesn't often get thought about is the sacrament of anointing.
Mm, yeah.
And the sacrament of anointing, with my father, I saw many things that really related back to Divine Mercy, what I saw him go through in his last 6 months of his life. And they were very particular things that really, in the sacrament of anointing, you're joining all your sufferings to the cross, and you really saw the cross in those times of suffering in his final final few months. So it, in this Divine Mercy, it just, it emphasizes the whole passion of our Lord so much that you really see those moments and more clearly than you would maybe otherwise.
And there's such powerful promises, aren't there, for those who say the chaplet? Can you explain what those are, Annette? Are you familiar with the promise of people who say the chaplet at the sick and dying?
Well, for the sick and dying, I know that, like, my father died, we were saying the chaplet.
How beautiful.
And the promises of Faustina from the war that she saw when she would bilocate at a person's deathbed, she would see the prayers that were being offered and how that would keep the evil souls or the evil away from them so that they wouldn't despair in dying. So,
yes.
Yeah.
And Tina, you just, looks like you have something in front of you that you might want to quote.
Oh, no, I just, one of the ladies at my church, she gave me the Divine Mercy Novena and chaplet, and I have to tell you, after doing doing this the last few days, it is very empowering, you know.
And you're referring to the chaplet that began on Good Friday.
Yes.
Yep,
yes.
And it goes right up to Divine Mercy Sunday and every day. Explain what it is.
You typically, people, you know, say the rosary, and which is great, you know, keep on doing that, but adding in the Divine Mercy, especially sometimes we're always in a rush, it's actually shorter, which is nice. But if you say this for the next 9 days, and you're adding in something particular, like the first day you're doing in, you're speaking about for all mankind, especially all sinners, it's just hitting each and every thing that really kind of needs a little attention. You know, the best person, Father George always says, to consecrate yourself to Mary and let her handle everything. But with this novena, this kind of breaks it down. I think it kind of helps everything a little bit along. So the second day, we talk about priests and religious, you know. And I think, you know, some of us who could have gone that route of being, you know, had taken your orders, who I think it kind of helps people along now who are younger and thinking about that, like, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. You know, look into this. You know, everything's in God's hands, you know. The third day, the faithful souls, the devout, you know, helping them along, giving them courage, you know, evangelizing, which I think was definitely very hard for me for quite a few years. It was difficult for me to talk about Jesus. You know, you were the weird one.
We still are the weird ones.
We still are the weird ones, yeah.
Weirdness is us.
yeah. But it's okay. I'd rather be the one evangelizing than being the one who's always afraid to evangelize. And then what's going to happen? You're going to, one day pass, we're going to see God and say, oh, why didn't you talk about me? If you love me, why didn't you talk about me? Why didn't you talk about my son? And that's a fair question.
Yeah.
You know,
What would you say to that, Annette?
Yeah, I used to do the novena. I would start on one day, and then I'd just do it. And when I got to the end, I would do it again. So I would do it, like, all throughout the year. And I got to the point where I knew the days by heart. Like, I haven't done that for a while, so I don't really know them by heart, but when I was studying at the Liturgical Institute, I had to do a paper on a part of the Mass. So I picked the Kyrie to do this paper on, not knowing exactly why, but except for it had to do with mercy, right? So what I found was it was related to the prayers of the faithful that we now have later on in the Mass. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the ancient history to it, and you start to look at what were in the prayers of the faithful, they very much mirror the days of the Divine Mercy chaplet.
Wow. And today's the purgatory. Today's bring to me the souls that are in purgatory.
So, like, if you think about it, the easiest way to look at the prayers of the faithful now in our current day liturgy
is
to look at the the Good Friday celebration when we do the veneration of the cross, but then we make those prayers where we pray for the Jews, we pray for leadership in the church and in the world, and we bring all those different people in to the prayer of Good Friday. It mirrors that, okay? So it's kind of like if you look at that devotion, it's not that the devotion is original, it's that the devotion is mirroring what we've always prayed for.
Mm. Oh, that's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. But what I like also in addition to that is when Jesus, it's a chapel, Jesus himself said to Faustina, it's in those bold print, mm-hmm. he explains the role of each of those groups. Like, this group was my consolation on the way to the cross. This group, I don't know if you want to pick one at random, Tina, of like one of the explanations about why that group of souls is so important to him. Which one do you have in front of you?
Yeah, let's do the one in purgatory. Let's do the one today. Most merciful Jesus, you yourself have said that you desire mercy. So I bring into the abode of your most compassionate heart the souls of purgatory, souls who you are very dear to you, and yet who must make retribution to your justice. May the streams of the blood and water which gush forth from your heart put into the flames of purgatory, that there too the power of your mercy may be celebrated.
And what's so interesting is on Divine Mercy Sunday, it was explained today on the radio by Dr. Brian Thatcher that it's a complete remission of sin, according to what he said. So, you know, normally if you go to confession, you still have to make atonement for those sins through purgatory. Yeah. But with Divine Mercy, if you go to confession, I think the church has made it 20 days before and after this year. If you go to confession 20 days before and you go to communion, at the point of receiving communion, Jesus will wash away everything. Even so, if you were, so say April 8th, the whole world goes to hell in a handbasket like they're telling us with the eclipse.
Right, yes.
What a beautiful day to be doing this right after Divine Mercy Sunday. It's like, okay, Lord, if you're going to take me in someday, this would be a good one to do it, right?
Yes.
I just hope it's like at 12:01 or something before I get a chance to mess up again.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, so it's just a beautiful thing. So what's going on at St. Bede that people can attend for Divine Mercy Sunday?
So Sunday, you know, if you haven't been back to church, if you're not sure where you're going in your life, if you feel like, you know, you're at a point where you don't feel like you're redeemable, this is the perfect day for you to go. This is for great conversion. Please come at St. Bede starting at 1 o'clock. We have confessions. At 2 o'clock, we have the celebration of our Mass. And then we are starting our with prayers at 3 o'clock, where, you know, it's probably the most holy hour combined, hours combined. You will not regret it. You will have a new life with God. Very empowering. Yeah.
So they can actually go to confession on that exact day as it was originally said in the message from Faustina. So you can go confessions at 1.
Yes.
And then
2 o'clock is Mass.
2 o'clock Mass, Holy Mass.
Mm-hmm. And 3 o'clock Holy Hour, we start with our prayers.
And the Hour of Mercy, 3 o'clock with prayer. Annette, I caught you by surprise when I asked you to come in. Do you know what's going on at St. Gilbert?
What we're doing is we are just having a 3 o'clock Holy Hour. We don't have confession available, but this is what I'll say about all of it, okay? We have an image that was given to us, donated to us by somebody, and it's a very nice image that we bring into the church on Divine Mercy Sunday so that everybody who attends Mass can venerate the image, because that's part of what our Lord asked for, was that image would be venerated. And so by having it in the church, you're not really certain what might happen. Okay, so we don't, it's not in the worship space, but it's visible throughout the church. And this image, we put it up the week before. So I put it up on Palm Sunday, and I put novena pamphlets with it. So as a mechanism of advertising the novena for people who come in for Palm Sunday Mass. And then people who go to Mass will see the image, and it may or may not be talked about at the Mass, but have that hope that their hearts will be touched by it.
Well, here's the thing, too. I think our Lord told Faustina that we look at it as a painting, but he said it's as if he's looking down from the cross at you. Mm-hmm. So it's a living, it's not just
icon.
A picture, right? It's an icon.
And people in the Western Church don't recognize icons, but what icons are in the Eastern Church is they are a presence. So when people who are of the Orthodox faith have icons in their homes, that's a presence of that saint or image in there, of that person in the image in their homes. There was somebody who taught at the Liturgical Institute a class on the East and the West, and he said the most close thing that we have in the church, in the Western Church, to an icon image is the Sacred Heart image.
Yes.
So if you look at the relationships of the Sacred Heart image, the Divine Mercy image, my opinion is that there is a presence there. Okay.
Oh, for sure.
And people always had the Sacred Heart image in their home to keep their homes blessed. And so this is a way, like while we would never have the Eucharist in our home, but we could have that image and have that presence in our home.
Yeah. And he has special, like today is First Friday, which is dedicated to the Sacred Heart. And he does have that he'll bless every place's image, because he's not physically present as in the Eucharist, but definitely with that, and certainly with Divine Mercy, it's as if it is him looking at you from the cross. Mm-hmm. So that's beautiful. So we have 1 o'clock at St. Bede in Ingleside. We have 3 o'clock at St. Gilbert. And also, I know Marytown has a 1 o'clock confessions. They have 6 priests that are scheduled to hear confessions.
Nice.
And they have a nun coming in from Poland, from Faustina's Order coming in.
Oh.
And we've been doing advertisements or spots, free public spots, for St. Patrick. So St. Patrick in Lake Forest, if that's your home area, or if you just want to go and check it out, they have confessions as well. I believe this starts at 1 o'clock. So it's so wonderful. I remember when this first came out, there really was not a lot going on in our churches. It really wasn't well known.
I actually remember quite a few years living in Chicago, I was calling all these churches to find out who's doing what.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and I think 1 year I traveled like an hour and a half just to go, you know, and a church I never knew. And I just like, I'm staying the whole time. And whatever needs to be done. It's...
You made it a pilgrimage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one thing I do really appreciate from my father is he was like, you know, if you got time, go and visit one of the churches that you've never been to. You know, there are some things that each church can bring to you. And it is true, you know, we've got some beautiful churches, and we're so blessed.
Especially Chicago. I've never seen anything like it. Chicago is unbelievable.
Our Lady Guadalupe, you know, Marytown, you know, each and every single church has something.
St. Raphael.
Beautiful. Oh,
St. Raphael's magnificent.
It looks like it should, it's like out of Europe, into like cornfields, you know, it's just gorgeous.
And you step in and you feel like you're in Rome or Europe. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
And that you're so blessed to be there.
Very
well, any closing comments, and then we're going to wrap it up here. Okay, we have 1 minute. Tina, what do you have to say?
I am very grateful for Pope John Paul II for bringing this to us. And I remember when he passed away just on the eve of Divine Mercy Sunday. So thank you.
Isn't that something? He died on Divine Mercy Sunday. So all you beautiful Polish Catholics out there especially, thank God for sending that spark that ignited the world. Okay, that's all the time we have. Thank you so much for joining us at WSFI Catholic Radio.
This has been WSFI Spotlight. For more information on this or any other program, email info@wsfiradio.org.